Picture this. You're on your laptop, coffee in hand, doing the normal start of day shuffle. Slack, email, calendar, Jira, whatever. And you click a link. Not a sketchy link, not free crypto nonsense. It's a link that looks like documentation, or a GitHub issue, or a skill page, or even a link your agent surfaced for you because it was helping. And that one click is enough to hand over the keys to the thing you've been testing, a local AI agent that can run commands, read files, hit APIs, and act on your behalf. Not in the cloud, not in a sandbox you forgot existed, on your actual machine with your actual credentials. That's what we're talking about today. Hey, I'm Brian from Teller's Tech, and this is Ship It Weekly. Be sure to visit shipitweekly.fm for all of the show notes and past episodes. Today is a special. No lightning round, no normal format. This is a special episode on OpenClaw. OpenClaw isn't just another AI tool. It's a preview of what a lot of us are about to be dealing with at work, whether we like it or not. Local agents. Real tools, real credentials, real consequences. And OpenClaw is basically the clearest case study we've had so far for what happens when autonomy meets messy reality. Security boundaries, plugin ecosystems, web UIs, token handling, and humans doing human things. All right. Let's set the stage. If you somehow missed the hype, OpenClaw is an agent platform you can run locally. The pitch is simple. AI that actually does things. Not just chat, not just suggestions. It can connect to your tools and take action. It can manage your calendar, triage email, message people, hit APIs, automate little workflows. The kind of stuff we all hack together with scripts, except now it's driven by a model that can reason through a task. And the locally part is what made it explode, because a bunch of people are sick of handing their entire inbox, calendar, or internal docs to some random SaaS agent. Running it on your own machine feels like control. And look, I get the appeal. It's the same reason we like local dev environments, self-hosted runners, internal tooling. You want ownership, you want knobs, and you want to see what it's doing. But here's the thing. When you run an agent locally, you're not just running software, you're running an operator. A little automation brain that wants to access everything. Files, tokens, browsers, SSH, cloud CLIs, whatever you let it touch. So the question becomes, what are we actually building here? Because from a DevOps and SRE lens, this is not an app. This is a control plane. And control planes have two roles. One, they always end up with scary permissions because otherwise they can't do the job. And two, they always end up becoming the target. And over the last few weeks, OpenClaw basically speed ran both of those rules. Here is the situation in one line. People installed local agents, gave them real access, and the ecosystem immediately started getting hit like it was NPM plus a browser admin panel plus remote management tool. Which, yeah, because that's what it is. So you had multiple things happening at once. You had a serious vulnerability story where a web UI plus token handling plus browser behavior created a one-click path to take over. You had a marketplace story where skills or extensions turned into a malware delivery channel. You had the usual people expose local admin things to the internet story because of course they did. And then on top of that, you now have the meta story, the creator getting hired by OpenAI, which is basically a signal flare that the big players are going all in on agents. So it's not just, wow, this one tool had issues. It's the entire category is now real. And we need to talk about how we treat it like adults. Because if your engineers start running agents on workplace machines with access to AWS, GitHub, CLI, and maybe even payment methods, you don't have a toy problem. You have a production security problem that just moved onto laptops. Let's talk about the vulnerability angle without getting into exploity details. The headline version is, there was a high severity issue where a crafted link could result in token leakage and then gateway compromise, leading to remote code execution. And if you are thinking, wait, how does a link do that if the agent is local? That's the important part. A lot of people hear local and their brain goes, cool, so it's behind localhost, so I'm safe. But localhost is not a magical security boundary. It's a networking convenience. And the browser is the ultimate helpful idiot in security stories. It will happily make requests from your machine to other places on your behalf. So if you have a local control panel in your browser and that control panel can talk to a privileged local service, you have tokens involved. Congratulations, you have reinvented a whole class of web security problems. This is the part where DevOps folks sometimes roll their eyes because it sounds like front-end security. But it's not front-end security, it's admin plane security. It's the same category as an internal Kubernetes dashboard, a Jenkins UI, a self-hosted GitHub runner with a web panel, a secrets UI, or an Argo UI. If it can trigger actions, it's an attack surface. And with OpenClaw, the core lesson isn't, wow, they had a bug. The lesson is agents collapse trust boundaries. Because the UI isn't just showing you data, it's holding the steering wheel. So if a browser session can be tricked into handing over a token, or connecting somewhere it shouldn't, or trusting something it shouldn't, the impact is way bigger than someone saw a page. The impact is you just handed someone an operator account for something that can execute on your machine. Which is basically the worst version of developer laptop compromise. Because now, it's not even a human making the decisions. It's an automation system that can be nudged. So, practical takeaway here. If you are running OpenClaw or anything like it, you need to patch fast, obviously. But also, stop thinking local equals safe. Local just means the blast is on you first. And that sounds dramatic, but it's true. The minute you have a privileged local service plus a browser UI plus tokens, you are in the same design space as a mini control plane. So you need to treat it that way. Now, let's talk about the part that will feel extremely familiar to anyone who has lived through supply chain headaches. OpenClaw has skills. There are extensions, add-ons, whatever you want to call them. And there was a wave of malicious skills showing up, including hundreds flagged in reporting. This is the oldest story on the internet. A popular platform shows up, a registry shows up, a bunch of people install things because, hey, it's open source, and the community is building cool stuff. And attackers go, oh, sick, an executable distribution channel with confused users. The difference here is the payload. With normal package ecosystems, malware tends to be about stealing tokens, crypto, SSH keys, browser data, that kind of thing. With agent ecosystems, the malware doesn't just steal, it can also steer. Because skills don't just sit there. They influence what the agent can do, what it can access, and what kinds of actions it will take. And the social engineering is painfully predictable. It's stuff like install this prerequisite, run this command real quick, paste this into your terminal. If you've ever watched someone get popped by a fake homebrew tap or a sketchy curl pipe bash, you already know the vibe. Now, layer in the agent angle. The agent is reading Markdown. The agent is summarizing pages. The agent is trying to be helpful. So the attack surface becomes any content the agent consumes. Not just who can message it, but the content itself. That's a weird shift, and it matters for how we build controls. Because an agent can be tricked through an email it reads, a doc it summarizes, a ticket it opens, a website it fetches, a paste bin it looks at. And if the agent has tool access, the question becomes, can that untrusted content cause tool execution? If yes, congratulations. You just made reading the internet equivalent to running code unless you build a guardrail. This is why the OpenClaw story matters to DevOps more than most AI hype. It's not about AI is coming. It's about we just added a new automation surface where content can turn into action. And that's a big deal. So this is the part I actually care about, because tools come and go. OpenClaw could disappear tomorrow and the core problem stays. The core problem is autonomous agents are becoming a new class of privileged workflows. except the workload is running on somebody's laptop or in random VMs or in somebody's home lab or eventually in some sanctioned internal deployment. And it has access to things we normally treat as high value: cloud credentials, source control, CI/CD, secrets managers, internal APIs, sometimes payment methods because people are wiring these agents into subscriptions or usage-based services, or yeah, even credit cards for auto-purchase type stuff. So let's reframe it in SRE language. An agent is an operator that accepts untrusted input. An agent is an operator that can take actions. And an agent is an operator that is very hard to reason about because its decision engine is not deterministic code you wrote. It's a model that can be influenced. So what do we do with operators? We reduce permissions. We isolate environments. We add approval steps for dangerous actions. We add audit logs. We set boundaries like egress controls, we separate duties, we rotate credentials, and we monitor. We run it like production. And the reason this is tricky is because a lot of people are approaching agents like a productivity app. They are treating it like installing Notion, but it's closer to installing a junior admin who never sleeps and can be convinced by a well-written paragraph. So here's the mindset shift I want you to take away from this episode. If your agent can run tools, it is infrastructure. If it touches credentials, it is privileged infrastructure. If it reads untrusted content, it is exposed infrastructure. And it needs controls that match that. Which leads me to the next point. Most orgs are not set up for this, culturally or technically, because we spent years building guardrails around CI and prod. We've spent even less time building guardrails around laptops, especially when the laptop is now running a local control plane. So we need a minimum viable safety approach. Not perfect, not academic, just don't be reckless. So let's keep this practical. If you are experimenting with OpenClaw or any local agent framework, here's the bar I'd personally want, even just for tinkering. First, don't run it on your main machine with your main creds. I know, everybody does it because it's convenient. But if the agent needs AWS access, you need to give it dedicated AWS identity that is scoped down. Separate account if you can, or at least separate role with tight permissions, short-lived tokens, and no administrator access because I'm just testing. Same idea for GitHub, same idea for GCP, same idea for anything. Second, you need to separate the agent's environment from your daily environment. A VM is fine, a separate machine is better, a separate user account is better than nothing. The real point is to avoid agent compromise equals my whole dev life is compromised. Because a lot of the stuff you actually care about is sitting right there on your laptop. SSH keys, browser sessions, cloud CLIs, kube configs, Slack tokens, password manager sessions, all of it. Third, don't expose the control interface. And if you do, don't do it casually behind some reverse proxy you copied from a blog. This is the I put it behind Nginx so it's fine trap. If it's an admin plane, it needs real auth, origin controls, and it should not be discoverable from the public internet, period. Fourth, treat untrusted content like a biohazard. If your agent is reading emails from the open internet, browsing the web, or pulling in random docs, consider a split agent approach. One agent that is read-only, whose whole job is summarizing untrusted content. Then, a second agent that has tools, but only sees the summary, not the raw content. That might feel annoying, but it's basically the same concept as don't run customer input through the same context that can trigger production actions. Different zone, different trust level. Fifth, approvals. If your agent can do anything destructive, require explicit approval for those actions. And I don't mean it prints a message and asks nicely. I mean a real control point, a config that says these tools require confirmation. A workflow where send money, rotate keys, delete resources, merge PRs, apply Terraform, all require a human step. And here's the important nuance. Approvals should be tied to action classes, not tied to do I trust the agent? Because the agent can be tricked. That's the whole point. So your controls can't be vibes-based. They have to be structural. Which leads me to the next point, observability. If an agent is acting on your behalf, you need to be able to answer basic questions later. What did it read? What tools did it invoke? What credentials did it use? What calls did it make? What files did it touch? And if the answer is, it just kind of did stuff, you are going to have a terrible time the first time something goes wrong. This is where I think DevOps people can actually contribute a lot, because we already know how to wrap scary automation in safely. We already know how to build pipelines with audit trails. We already know how to treat privileged systems like they're hostile by default. So if your team is adopting agents, push for the boring stuff. Centralized logs for agent actions. Tool invocation logs with arguments. A clear mapping of agent identity to credential identity. Rate limits, because agents can loop. Cost controls, because agents can loop and burn money. And a kill switch, always a kill switch. Because an agent that can autonomously take actions is basically a distributed failure generator if you don't contain it. And I'm not saying that to be dramatic. I'm saying it because every SRE has seen what happens when automation goes slightly sideways. Now, imagine the automation can be socially engineered. Cool. So we need to build with that in mind. Now, the recent update that changes the vibe a little. The creator of OpenClaw got hired by OpenAI. That's not a random headline. That's a signal. It tells you agents are not going to stay in the cool open source side project lane. The big labs want this. They want personal agents, enterprise agents, multi-agent systems, agent marketplaces, all of it. So even if OpenClaw itself fades, the pattern is here to stay. And as that happens, two things are going to be true at the same time. The tools will get way better, and the security problems will get way more interesting. Because adoption drives attacker attention, and agents, by design, sit exactly where attackers love to be, in the middle of identity, action, and trust. So the question for us, as DevOps and SRE people, isn't should agents exist? They are going to exist. The question is, do we treat them like production systems, or do we treat them like toys until they bite us? Because right now, a lot of orgs are about to repeat the same mistake we made with CI systems 10 years ago. Do you remember when Jenkins was just a build box and then suddenly it was the keys to prod? Yeah, agents are going to be that, except faster. All right, let's land this. OpenClaw is the current headline, but the real story is bigger. Local autonomous agents are a new control plane. They will end up with real access because otherwise they aren't useful. They will get targeted because that's where the value is. And local doesn't mean safe. It means the consequences start with you. So if you are experimenting with agents, awesome. Just do it like an SRE. Real credentials means real controls. And if you are leading a team, don't wait for a policy meeting in 6 months. Get ahead of it. Decide what safe experimentation looks like in your org before everyone quietly installs an agent and wires it into prod stuff because it's convenient. All of the links and references for this episode and the show notes are on shipitweekly.fm. If you got something out of this, a rating or review goes a long way, and it helps other folks find the show. I'm Brian from Teller's Tech, and see you next time. Thanks.